In the tradition of Jesus, when he spoke to his disciples, "Peace be with you tonight and always." We welcome you to the service called Maundy Thursday. Sometimes people might wonder where the word Maundy came from. Maundy is a Latin term that means mandate. And the mandate that Jesus gave to his disciples was that you love one another. So thank you again for coming tonight and being a part of this more intimate setting on Thursday night as Jesus faced what was to come. We know what comes on Good Friday. We here at Mayflower do not have a service for Good Friday, but perhaps this will prepare us for that day tomorrow, the day we call Good Friday, but it wasn't a lot of good that happened on that day except for what comes later. So we also are going to share communion at the end. I just want to remind everyone here that communion is open. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church. If you have faith, come and respond to the invitation that Jesus gives to all. And it will be by intinction tonight, and we don't want to throw you for a loop because we normally pass out the cups, but you will be invited. The choir will be first invited. And you'll take a piece of bread. You'll see how the choir does it. They're going to be the guinea pigs tonight, okay? So the bread, and you can dip it in there. There'll be a big enough piece that you don't have to put your fingers in the common cup, just the bread. And then you'll put it in the cup that I will hold. Margie will hold the bread, and then you can make your way back to your seat, and Sue will be here to usher you forward. So a little different for that. And then finally, we invite you into a very special time. It's kind of a tradition here at Mayflower into our Friendship Center where we will enjoy some bread and soup. And I'd like to thank Amy Jones. She is a soup maker extraordinaire, and I think you'll enjoy the flavor of it. But we'll all enjoy eating together in a humble meal, again in the tradition of Jesus and his disciples as they ate at meal the night before Good Friday. So join us for that, and when we leave this service, we can be quiet and reflective, but we are a beloved community, no different than usual, so we can go in and enjoy fellowship and eat together. And again, thank you for coming. Also, I'd like to thank the choir, Director Barb, and accompanist Deanne for all their work in preparing a special piece for tonight. And the handbell choir that just played, and as always, our worship coordinator, Lorraine, and husband Kim, who is always faithful here, putting the service online and recorded. So if anybody, and there are members of our congregation that would like to be here tonight, but they can watch it online, it will be recorded. With that, let us now worship God.
Let us pray. Gracious God, on this sacred night, we dine together as the body of Christ in sacrament and fellowship, around which we commit ourselves to love and serve one another. We pray for the beloved community as you feed us with the bread of life and lift for us the cup of salvation. May all who gather at your table receive a foretaste of the eternal banquet. God of love, we pray that as we remember this night when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, you would call us to ever greater acts of love, sacrifice, and service. God of compassion, on this night when Jesus prayed for those who would believe, may we be inspired to renew our covenant to love without limit and to serve without reward so that others would know and believe. God of forgiveness, we pray for those unable to eat at the Lord's table or any other table, for those who betray and for those betrayed, and for all innocent victims. God of hope, remember all those in need, especially those we silently hold before you now. Bless us now as we remember, worship, and fellowship on this sacred night of mystery, awe, and incredible love. We pray this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Light, taking care of some of the security concerns just in case anybody comes in that front door. And thank you, Bob. And I would like to thank Reverend Margie and also Nate Jones, who are very much a part of this service tonight. And Nate, of course, will be bringing the message. Marjorie will be sharing with me at communion. She and I will share scripture reading, which begins with John chapter 13, 31b through 35. Hear now these words. We'll let Kim take care of a technical issue here. Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, you will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Amen.
The second scripture reading this evening is from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. Hear now these words. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them."
Well, I almost goofed up. I almost brought my hymn sheet over instead of the sermon, which would have made for a much shorter sermon. So maybe I apologize. I don't know. Our text this evening is a familiar one. Jesus washes some stinky disciple feet as they gather for a Last Supper. It's a passage we read every year on this day, so perhaps it's too familiar. In fact, I overheard Pastor Mark praying a couple weeks ago, "Please, God, I can't preach the stinky feet sermon again. Won't you send someone else to do it this year?" Nevertheless, Lord, and that's when I knocked on the door. He looked up and he beamed and he said, "Amen." So that's how I ended up standing here. Whenever I hear this story, Jesus washing the disciples' feet, I'm reminded of another foot-washing supper found in the Gospels. Jesus is dining with his disciples and some religious leaders just outside Jerusalem. It is right before the Passover. In my imagination, grilled Jesus is on the menu. I picture folks giving him the third degree. Voices are rising, temperatures are rising, and just as things start to erupt, some gal, Mary, Martha's sister, John tells us, bursts into the boys' club and does the unexpected. She pours perfume over Jesus. She anoints him, and then she bends down and washes his feet in a loving act of adoration and sorrow, wiping him clean with her own hair. It is a tender and touching and powerful and emotionally charged scene as fragrance fills the house. And that is when the dinner party explodes. The guests, which includes Jesus' disciples, are indignant and they rebuke her harshly. They call her act wasteful and imply that she is selfish for not selling the perfume to help the poor. With judging eyes, they see a sinner who isn't even worthy to do the lowly job of washing feet. Making Mary seem small is a sanctimonious way of making themselves seem devout, seem greater. Yet, where they see unworthiness and waste, Jesus sees love. Jesus calls her act a beautiful thing, an act of great love. He sees a beloved child of God putting into action kingdom principles of love and humility and service. And it is Mary, not the muckety-mucks invited to supper, who sees Jesus as Messiah, Redeemer, Lord, and King. Jesus makes a curious statement to them. He says that wherever this gospel is preached, wherever this good news is proclaimed, what this woman, Mary, has done will also be told. And this is the curious bit. He adds, in memory of her. Her foot-washing tale will be told in memory of her. If this phrase sounds familiar, that's because it is. We recognize it from the Last Supper account described in Matthew and Mark and Luke, where Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. He instructs his disciples to do this in remembrance of me, to remember his great act of love and sacrifice at the cross. But John chooses a different in memory of me narrative. John likes to use contrasting stories to illustrate spiritual truths. For example, he tells stories that contrast light and dark, rich and poor, lame and able-bodied, blind and sighted. And to underscore what happens at the Last Supper, he tells two foot-washing stories. The first has a woman, Mary, washing Jesus' feet, which causes outrage from the religious elite who are present, even though her story represents the acceptable social norm where the least serves the greatest. For the second foot-washing story, we move from sweet fragrance filling a whole house to the funky odor of stinky feet filling an upper room. But before we do that, I want to grab one last detail from Luke. Luke tells us that a debate broke out among the disciples at the Last Supper over who was the greatest. Now, anyone who's ever gone outside to the playground during recess knows what this means, because we do not need to be picked first for the team, but no one wants to be picked last. So if disciples were debating who was the greatest, they were also arguing over which of them was the least. And that argument in Luke's gospel over who is greatest began, I think, as a disagreement over whose task it should be to wash stinky disciple feet and fix the funk. But which of them stood at the bottom of the social ladder? Who was the least? John makes this foot-washing scene the focal point of his Last Supper account because it conveys Jesus' most radical social teaching. You see, Jesus totally reversed the contemporary notion of greatness. He completely redefined leadership, rearranged the lines of authority. He abolished the pecking order. And the key way Jesus did this was through the discipline of service. John understood this. It is why he placed two foot-washing stories next to each other, before and after, before Christ and after Christ. I like to imagine that Jesus got up while the disciples argued about greatness and made his preparations without anyone even noticing. And when they finally do, Peter is indignant and refuses Jesus. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? If Peter had been the master, he would not have washed anyone's feet. Jesus' act was an affront to his concept of authority. Peter failed to see clearly. He failed to understand greatness in God's kingdom. Jesus demonstrated to Peter and to us that choosing to serve is different from choosing to be a servant. You see, choosing to serve means we are still in charge. We get to decide who and when and how and where. But when we choose to be a servant, when we are obedient to God's will, we give up the right to be in charge. We become available and vulnerable. And that was Jesus' example. It was also Mary's example. John's In Memory of Me narrative ends like this, with these words from Jesus the disciples, to his disciples. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you. He called this a new commandment, that you should love one another just as I have loved you. You should also love one another. Do this in memory of me.
That was right on cue. Oh, Deb, sorry about that. Sorry, Kim. That was right on cue. Do this in remembrance of me. That's about as good of a segue as we could have for communion tonight. Thank you. You have your ritual printed, but let's put meaning in it as we share together, beginning with our prayer of confession. God of grace and mercy, we confess that we haven't loved you with our whole hearts. We fall short of what you desire for us as individuals caught up in selfishness and fear, and as a community of faith that sometimes forgets your call to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with you. Forgive us, O God. Lift us from despair to hope, from division to unity, and from apathy to love. Renew us by your Spirit, that we may walk in your ways and find joy in your will. Amen. Amen.
Hear the good news. No matter how far we wander, we cannot outrun the reach of God's grace. In Christ, we are forgiven, embraced, and made whole. At this table, we remember that Jesus welcomed all, the one who betrayed him, the ones who fled in fear, and all who longed for hope and belonging. We come not because we are perfect, but because we are deeply loved.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right that we give you thanks, O God. You shaped us in your image and breathed life into us. Even when we turned away, your love never let us go. Through prophets, teachers, and covenant, you've kept calling us home. And so, with all creation, we join the unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The invitation includes the reminders that this is not my table or the church's table, this is Christ's table, open to all who desire to know God's love. You need not be a member of any church. Bring only your hunger, your hope, and your longing. Here we acknowledge our sins, our failures, and our disappointments. Here we present ourselves to God, who meets us as we are, loves us where we are, and draws us toward wholeness. So come, for all is ready. On the night when he was handed over, Jesus gathered with his friends around a common table. He took bread, broke it, blessed it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant, my very life poured out in love for you. Whenever you drink it, remember me." And so when we eat this bread and drink this cup, we remember the life, death, and resurrection of Christ and the love that will never let us go. We'll make the invitation now, beginning with the choir.
Salvation, Lorraine.
In our prayer of thanksgiving with grateful hearts, let us pray together. Thank you, God, for this sacred meal where you have shared yourself with us. Here we are renewed and reminded that your love is stronger than fear. Your hope is deeper than despair, and Christ lives within us always. Send us out strengthened in faith and love, ready to serve and build your beloved community until we are all fed, welcomed, and free. Amen. I'd like to thank Reverend Margie. I'd like to thank all of you again for being here. This does remind me of the intimate times that Jesus had with his disciples, so thank you. And that ends our service, and so we can quietly make our way. Hopefully all of you can join us for the meal of bread and soup.